This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. I was just watching some telly the other night, late night trash TV. They had a bit of Miami Vice on.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that good? Do you remember that in the '80s? Mm. Used to absolutely love that program. And one bit I'd forgotten about Miami Vice, this is the original one with like Don Johnson and everything, is that Sonny Crockett, obviously Don Johnson's character, he used to live on a boat.
Yep.
And I just thought to myself, I'd love to live on a boat.
This is so weird that you've said this, because this morning I went for a run and ran back along the canal, and there's lots of narrow boats.
Yes.
And there was one fella who, it was probably about 9:15 this morning, and I kind of thought, this is perfect, because it was a beautiful morning, blue sky, sunshine, and he was sat on the end of his narrow boat by the tiller, and he's got a banjo out. It was 9:15.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
No. And he was just nerdling and just singing to himself.
Oh, wow.
I ran past, was like, good morning. He went,
it's like, right. Where's answer to the deliverance there?
Exactly.
It's good to imagine, though, like finishing the show like we do and then going home and just walking down the jetty if you live in a marina, like, Sonny Crockett did in Miami Vice. Get on your boat, sit out the back at the end of the evening and have a couple of drinks.
Now, we are at this new building that we're broadcasting from. We are kind of more in the Camden area of London. So yeah. You've got your canals, you've got your lock. It's a little bit different to a Miami marina. But we could do that. We could walk out of the studio and live in a narrow boat.
Well, look, if you listen to this show and you live in a boat, you got on a boat, or you spend some time on a boat, we could have a special nautical-themed home time at some point. Do get in touch. hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
And it's a very iconic day today. You don't need us to tell you. It's the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings. Mm. June the 6th, 1944, largest seaborne invasion in history. And I didn't know this number, but 156,000 Allied troops landed by sea and air across 5 different beaches in Normandy. Mm. So, unbelievable. This always has a special resonance for me, because my granddad John Swanson, what a name, on my mum's side of the family in Liverpool, from Old Swan, was part of the invasion force. He drove on the landing craft,
yeah,
which is incredible. So his boat broke down on one of the beaches as well, so he had to fix it. And that sounds just terrifying. And you see those photos, don't you, of the landing ships heading into that kind of barrage of fire with like soldiers huddled together and water and bullets splashing around them and everything like that. Can you even imagine people doing that kind of thing now?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Every anniversary of D-Day and the landings, when you see and you hear people's accounts, you're just marvelling. You just cannot imagine what it must have been like.
Well, we were just talking the other day about like standing up for yourself. And even if anything gets a bit kind of heated, or you fear for your own safety, I just scarper. Mm. And these people like literally put their lives on the line. So like I say, you should never really forget what that generation did for us. The weird thing was that my granddad, even though he had all these heroics and did this incredible stuff, didn't really talk about it.
No, I'm not surprised.
No real talking about it at all. Like, and you know, he's in that kind of era. It's like, oh, told to wrap it up if he was ever talking about the war. A little bit like Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses, etc. But he did come back as a totally different person. And, you know, I would, fair to say, drunk quite a bit. There was, you know, kind of a comedy character in the family with Liverpool, because they used to lock him upstairs sometimes for family weddings because he used to get drunk quite quickly. And it was all kind of, you know, granddad just being granddad. But back then, no understanding of post-traumatic stress disorder, or the experiences that people have and the long-term effects of being in a kind of combat zone like that. And the sad thing is, if you've watched any of... there's been brilliant coverage over the past 24 hours of some of the stuff that's going on in Normandy as we speak, but there's very few of them left, isn't there? Hardly any of the veterans left to tell those stories. And I think, you know, as we go through our day-to-day on, you know, this Thursday, this kind of... what some people might not realise is quite a monumental Thursday, and everyone's kind of preoccupied with their own lives and getting to appointments and doing their stuff and getting through the day, we should spare a thought for those heroes, all those little white graves in Normandy, because we hope to God that history never calls upon us lot to do what they had to do ever again.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Breaking food news, first of all. Jaffa Cakes. Who doesn't like Jaffa Cakes? They're fantastic. I love Jaffa Cakes. Don't tell me you don't like Jaffa Cakes.
I like Jaffa Cakes.
Oh, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Thumbs up.
But I do know one thing about you. You might like Jaffa Cakes, but I know for certain that you like, whether it's a food or a drink, you like things to, and I quote, I think this is what you would say, you like things to stay in their own lane.
I like things simple, not fancy, missionary Missionary position, no eye contact.
Good to know. Well, you might not like this then. McVitie's are selling a new flavour of Jaffa Cake, but they've done other ones before. There's been some lime ones, there's been some blackcurrant ones. This is the first ever non-fruit flavour of Jaffa Cake since it was launched in 1927. So it's immediately very, very controversial. Right. You're probably thinking, what flavour of Jaffa Cake could you have that isn't actually based on a fruit? The answer is cola bottle flavour.
Oh, jeez. I've had enough of this. Why are they doing? I thought McVitie's are better than this. It's not Marmite.
Now, I don't know what to think about this, because if I was at the cinema and was doing a pick and mix, I don't mind cola bottles. Partial to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I want it infused in a Jaffa Cake, which I love? Not so sure about that.
Because cola bottles kind of make you pull a face, right?
Yeah, they do,
You don't want to pull a face every time you take a bite of a Jaffa Cake, do you?
No, exactly. Jaffa Cake's very famously always taken abroad by the England football team when they travel abroad. I'm sure Gareth Southgate has already been down to the cash and carry to take all the Jaffa Cakes over to Germany, because it's a good, healthy little energy boost for them whilst they're training.
Wouldn't that be brilliant if Gareth Southgate was loading the van at Booker's? Yeah. Who's the assistant bloke?
Yeah, Steve Holland.
He's doing that. I can't get this pallet to wheel round. The wheels are all out of sync, Gareth.
Would you say then that you are a Jaffanatic?
I'm not. That's not a thing, is it?
That is what they call fans of Jaffa Cakes. Jaffanatic.
A Jaffanatic.
Yes, it's an actual word.
Sounds like a condition.
He's recovered from Jaffanatic.
Oh, he's our Kieran's wife. Linda has been had terrible Jaffanitis. That's just not a thing, is it?
No. Cola bottle Jaffa Cakes are coming out. What's your thoughts? The world is reacting right now to the story that cola bottle flavoured Jaffa Cakes are coming out. Now, I've run an unofficial poll on this. Let's see if you can guess, proportion-wise, how things have gone. The two options were appalled or excited.
I don't know, because, you're weird with this kind of stuff. You've got like a strange interest in curious flavour combinations, haven't you?
Yes, I have, yeah.
You're like, where's Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
Sounds like a competition. But I don't know, maybe people are appalled at this, because, you know, Jaffa Cakes have been the same for years, haven't they?
They've really mucked
around with them. So yeah. I'll say the predominant people have been voting for appalled.
Well, you have got your finger very much on the population, because 63% of people say appalled.
Good for you.
Not good news for the people at McVitie's, I would say. That. And in fact, this tweet here, I would say, sums up the whole thing. McVitie's killed off fruit clubs and thought this is acceptable. Mark Scott wants to ask, where was the on-the-fence option in your poll about Jaffa Cakes? I don't think you can sit on a fence when it comes to new foods. You've got to have an opinion.
Well, is he meaning, I don't care, or is he just, he's torn, he doesn't know which one to go for?
I'm going with torn.
I'm going with don't care. See, what we do care about, though, we've got a great guest for you on this show in the next hour. Top comedian Harry Hill joins us on Home Time. It's going to be chaos.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Every Thursday, we try and fix a gap that exists in the English language and put a new word into the dictionary as we find a word for a situation that doesn't yet have one.
We've got a situation for you guys this week that winds the pair of us up. Mm. It's a real, and you've probably had the same situation happen to you, and it's this. And this has bubbled up on Home Time this week. I think a caller got involved with it, or someone texted it in. Essentially, we need to find a word for that situation where you're the person doing the shopping, but someone else puts the bar down and starts putting their shopping out before you've even had all yours scanned through.
Now, this is going to be so difficult to deal with this evening, because the reaction for all of us is to get angry.
It's like, what the hell's going on?
And start talking about it and how you hate it. But what we're here to do is to come up for a word for that situation.
Don't think about the anger. Think about the guys over at Collins Gem. They're working on a deadline.
Belt Bandit.
Oh, I nearly went for that one.
Did you? Hey, well, that's obviously meaning it's a really good one if both of us thought it.
I put down belt tightener. Because they're kind of shrinking the size of the belt.
Aren't they? Oh, yeah. That's very good.
There's a bit of a theme there.
Wow. Well, hey, we've set the bar high, and that doesn't always happen. What are you...
Set the bar high, that's it. Because they're putting the bar really high up and actually squeezing your space.
Oh, yeah.
You've accidentally come up with another one.
This is what an inspired evening this is.
Let's don't play any songs. Let's just keep going. We're on a roll.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, let's go home now.
I'm happy to do either, to be honest with you.
Tom is putting forward belt hoppers.
Yes. It sounds like fun, sounds like knockabout, but it's actually really annoying. Mm. Pablo Spur has been on to say, what about conveyor melt? Which might be the best one so far.
It's really very good.
Alan says, a belt shimmer. I don't quite know what he means.
Do you know what? Shimmer sounds too nice. A shimmer is something that sparkles and nice. I don't think it's a belt shimmer.
These are awful people. We're going to reject belt shimmer. I'm sorry about that.
Push belt, says Tom.
A push belt?
A push belt.
Oh, stop being such a push belt, Neil.
Actually, it works in context.
Flip says, a payment polarisation behaviour or post-aisle blocker stress disorder. It's kind of a condition he's come up with.
And how about this from David? Let me read this carefully. Belt end.
Whoa, that might have to be the one. That's great. Now, we thought we'd put the whole shopping conveyor belt etiquette thing to bed with Find a Word For, but people are still talking about it. We've got Steve that's on the line right now, needs to get someone off his chest and put a hypothetical situation to everybody. Steve, you want to talk about conveyor belts? Take it away.
Right, so we're in the shops, and I said to my friend Melvin, my lovely assistant, Melly McGee, if I get behind someone and they're not put the little sign across, next customer, I try and push some of my shopping onto them so they have to pay for it. But I've never got away with it yet. So we was asking them whether is it his responsibility behind me to put the sign on or mine.
Right, so when you're doing the thing where you're paying for your shopping, it's been scanned through, whose responsibility is to put the next customer divider on the belt? Is it the person that's doing the main bit of shopping and having it cashed up or the person behind?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think it's the person in front because I think they're responsible to make the cut-off point.
I think the clearest way to describe this is the person who is loading their shopping. Once they have finished, they have to put the divider down. It's kind of like your responsibility to put a full stop on the sentence. You are basically saying, I am done.
Full stop on it.
I am done. Yeah. The conveyor is yours.
Yes.
It's a good point, although sometimes people are quite bad at, like, you know, wrapping stuff up, and maybe you just want to get going. If you're the person behind, you want to put the bar down yourself and start getting some of your shopping going if you're in a rush.
That is right, but I think if they don't put it down, their responsibility to pay for my shopping behind as well.
That's a fair point.
I mean, I don't do a big shop anyway. I only get a bit of fillet steak.
Oh, someone's doing all right for themselves.
I was going to say, of all the steaks to get, you're doing the big one.
Yeah, I'm trying to get one through. And then, obviously, if they don't pay for it, I'll dump that and I'll have a couple of burgers or something.
All right, Steve. Well, it's been an interesting insight into your day and your eating habits. Good to speak to you.
Fantastic. All the best, guys.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
So that's it. That's your daily takeaway for today. Just going back to the living on a boat thing. If this show was on a boat, what would the boat be called?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it?
Maybe email us your thoughts.
HMS Chaos.
Hometime at absoluteradio.co.uk.